T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Crisis Next Door, a weekly report on the biggest conflicts around the world, with host Jason Brooks.
Thanks for listening to The Crisis Next Door. I'm Jason Brooks. The Syrian civil war is grinding on with no end in sight, with the latest attempt by the regime to push the rebels out of their last bastion in Idlib so far not showing any signs of succeeding in that effort. Both sides have a tendency to exaggerate battle claims, but there are those from afar with eyes on the war who are able to piece together the actual events happening on the ground. The Crisis Next Door is joined by Jakub Yunovsky, an IT worker from the Czech Republic who's been amassing footage from the Syrian civil war since 2011. And by using open source intelligence collection methods, OSINT for short, has been able to detail the losses sustained in the fighting. Jakub has been a contributor to Bellingcat, which uses OSINT to document wars around the world. Jakub, thank you for joining us on The Crisis Next Door.
Yeah, thanks for inviting.
Before we get into the details of the Syrian civil war, how did you get involved in OSINT? And for those who are unfamiliar, can you explain the methods used in collecting the data?
Yeah, so first, OSINT means open source intelligence. So you are relying on public sources like Facebook posts, YouTube videos, etc. And you are using that data to uncover useful or interesting information that isn't apparent or that someone else is trying to hide.
How difficult is it to take that data and determine what exactly you're looking at?
It's case by case. Sometimes it's pretty easy and it can be done in a few minutes. Sometimes it takes days or weeks of effort, depending also on what you are looking for, if it's just one event or some long-term trend. So it can be quite complex. Also can be quite difficult if there are like no visible prominent features. But there are some people I'm friends with that are incredibly good at it.
How did you first get attracted to OSINT? What brought you into looking at this data and trying to uncover facts in the Syrian civil war?
I have always been interested in military history and especially in early 2010s, military conflicts started to be covered a lot more by ordinary people as well as activists on both sides. We have video and photos posted online. So I started watching first Libyan civil war and later Syrian one. And later I have started archiving the footage.
Now, you use social media footage, I'm guessing, also satellite imagery. Is it a combination of photographs that you're using to come up with your analysis of what's going on in the war?
Yeah, with my friends, we have been both gathering posts from Twitter, Telegram, some online forums, and we are using satellite photos when it's available and useful for us, because that doesn't always happen.
How difficult is it using social media photos? I've been following the war for quite some time, too, and you see many claims, whether it's from the regime side or the various rebel groups. How do you use that information and then try to determine what you're actually looking at in those pictures?
Yeah, well, at least in Syrian civil war, there is not all that much video or photo manipulation, but quite often there are posts that are trying to claim some new event about reusing old video or photos. So it takes some effort to just recheck everything, whether or not it's actually a new event or something that happened 5 years ago.
Have you run into any issues since YouTube started banning accounts that did show combat footage from the war?
Yeah, a lot of issues, especially because most, if not almost all rebel groups and obviously all visible ISIS accounts were banned and their content deleted. And quite often they actually ban the content itself. So in their server, if somebody else tries to upload it again, he is blocked. So sometimes I was able to recover that content from other services before they actually also stepped up and blocked such content. Sometimes I already had it, but a lot of content was definitely lost.
YouTube says that they ban content that they think is offensive. Do you think that perhaps having that content available in your archive serves a different purpose?
Yeah, I'm trying to show at least usually military footage like combat or after combat videos and to make them available for everyone, especially for research, learning about history, etc. And I think their effort is forced on one side by politicians and public, but I think they should try and at least preserve this kind of footage for professional researchers, journalists, even if they put it behind some wall where you have to actually prove your identity or something, it would be a lot more useful.
You've built an enormous collection of footage from the war, 150 gigabytes of data in an archive that could be accessed on Reddit under the page r/combat footage. How do you break that data down in a way where someone can make sense of it without being overwhelmed?
Yeah, since I prefer keeping things simple, I have included as much data as possible in actual file names. So even if you just open the folder, let's say from 2016, and you want to see, let's say, Conquer's ATGM launches, you can just type in to Windows search for that folder, and you have ability to quickly sort and analyze the data, count launches, outcomes, etc. And I think this is much more practical than creating some metadata files for everything.
Let's get to the details of the Syrian war. You've painstakingly tallied up the Assad regime's armor losses since the beginning of the war. And that was a big number to begin with, as Syria had one of the largest tank fleets in the world. What is the tally on total armored losses since the beginning of the war for the regime?
At around 2,393, give or take a few vehicles. At least that was the last count. And this includes tanks, armored personnel carriers, howitzers, self-propelled. My research to this group of vehicles, because things like light technicals and things like that are not all that interesting. Pickups, put some machine guns on them, and they are not really restricted and nothing unique.
It looks like the regime has stabilized those losses the past couple of years after heavy losses from 2012 to 2017. What would have been the peak period for armored losses for Syria?
Happened in 2012 and 13, when in both years they have lost around 500 armored vehicles, and losses actually peaked in summer 2012 when losses were around 100 vehicles per month.
Are you able to break down losses inflicted on the regime from various rebel groups, whether it's Al-Qaeda affiliate HTS, ISIS, or the US-backed SDF? Is that possible?
Yeah, since usually all sites release their own videos with proof of enemy losses, showing what they have captured, etc., it's usually possible to identify who destroyed or captured what.
Do you have any totals from that as far as which rebel groups have inflicted the most losses on the regime?
This pretty complicated since not always you get videos from specific group which captured some place or know what actually was destroyed by whom, since quite often there are like four or five groups in single battle.
Understandable. It's hard to find a more complicated conflict than the Syrian civil war. Also, is it even possible to tell if rebel forces have captured Syrian armor?
Yes, although this has become quite a bit more difficult since especially HTS has become a lot more secretive about those captures, where they, for example, claim some vehicles to be captured, but rarely post their videos for some reason. But until fairly recently, it has become normal to post videos or photos of captured weapons, at least after you remove them from the front line where they could be destroyed.
What has Syria got left? Are they running out of armor? Does Russia have some old tanks lying around that it can offer to help out Assad?
This is a lot more complicated than it usually is in these conflicts, since on one hand, Syria has lost the vast majority of tanks, armored personnel carriers. At the same time, they are being supported by Russia, which, if they want to do so, can resupply them with substantial numbers of all military equipment. This is obviously not so simple. Russians want to wage war in Syria on the cheap, so they sent Assad some vehicles and some equipment, or take a few hundred vehicles, and they won't probably send more unless somebody actually pays for it.
You put 2019 losses at 47 so far for the Syrian regime, all since April 29th when the regime began to move to oust the rebels from Idlib. What does that pace tell you? Is it another bad year ahead for the regime after a couple of better years in regards to the amount of tanks and armor they lost to rebels?
And nobody's trying to take some territory. There's minimal or no losses. For example, first 4 months of this year had just 9 vehicles in first 4 months, and that includes end of April when current fighting started. So as long as either rebels or regime try to capture territory, losses escalate very quickly. And this is also gotten quite more interesting recently, since there was some appearance of a deal between Turkey, Russia, and Assad to trade some territory and let each other's militaries take over with minimal losses. But either for whatever reason, the deal fell through, which resulted in Turkey shipping some modern ATGM missiles to rebels.
Given your monitoring of the war, does it look like the regime has made any appreciable advance on the rebels in Idlib, or are the rebels still firmly in control of the province?
So, appear to be firmly in control of Idlib, northern Hama, and eastern Latakia, and front lines in general haven't moved much. Regime has gained a little bit more ground than rebels, because they have counterattacked a bit south of where regime is pushing, but in general, neither side has gained much.
It must be a very tough thing to be following a war so closely as you have for 8 years, and there doesn't appear to be any end in sight. Do you plan to keep up your work with OSINT in documenting what you see on the ground in the Syrian civil war?
Yeah, I definitely. In long term, I don't expect this to end anytime soon, but I think it's pretty likely that regime will get tired of these unsuccessful offensives, and front lines will at least temporarily stabilize again.
It certainly is a war that seems to have no end in sight. Yakub, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on The Crisis Next Door.
Thank you for inviting.
We've been joined by Yakub Yanofsky, who's been documenting the Syrian civil war using OSINT methods. I'm Jason Brooks. Thanks for listening to The Crisis Next Door. Till next time.
The Crisis Next Door with host Jason Brooks is produced weekly. If you have any thoughts for Jason, email him at tcndpodcast@kcbsradio.com. Again, that's tcndpodcast@kcbsradio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.